Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. I'd like to trade somebody right now. This topic is probably the hardest topic that I have ever prepared, in that because it involves my life and probably yours too. When we get into it, you'll understand what we're talking about. And things didn't go well for a bit. You see all these papers I have here? Well, I started printing out, and I don't understand electronics very well. I didn't know how to make it smaller, so I have one thought, one page. But that's okay. At least I can read it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do the words of this law. The title this morning is Secrecy and Secrets. We know this morning that secrecy and secrets are running rampant in the church, in Creston, as a town, in governments, out of control. So, having said that, we want to start into secrecy. Is intentional. It's an act of hiding information. And this isn't original with me. This is the actual definition of secrecy. The average person holds about 13 secrets at any given time. 13. Who came up with that, or how did they determine that? I don't know. Nearly everyone admits to having secretly told a lie or stolen something at one point in their lives. That's interesting. The secret word here, the operative word here, is admit. Nearly everyone admits that they've done this. That's a great starting point, isn't it? To admit. Ultimately, that's what God wants from us. I'm a sinner. I've really messed up. Forgive me, God, please. I'm helpless. That's what he's looking for. So, ...26% of secrets shared are passed along to someone. So they're not, 26% is a pretty high number, which in all reality, I thought that'd be way more than that. I personally thought that, like, who keeps a secret? I hope we do. But if somebody comes to us, you know, can we keep a secret? We need to. We need to. If it's told, if something is told us in confidence, I'm not talking about covering things that are criminal or things that ought not to even happen in the first place. But when someone tells us a secret in confidence, I am sharing it with you, brother or sister. I love you. I want you to know this about my life. Period. That's where it stops. It has to. Nothing else will do. If we do not put a period there, then we become guilty of evil things. So that's This is a topic, not a message. I could get carried away, like I always do. Only 6% of people admit they never keep a secret. Benjamin Franklin, in 1735, made this statement: three people may keep a secret if two of them are dead. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? I think so. But there is a bright side. I know it's been pretty negative so far, and as we go on, it'll all work out a little better than what it seems like right now. There's a bright side. Not all secrets are harmful. Research shows that keeping positive secrets, like a surprise gift, a happy announcement, or a personal goal, can actually increase feelings of energy, intrinsic motivation, because they are freely chosen and align with a person's values. So when I appreciate someone or I want to do something for someone, and I get them a little gift. Here, this is a gift of friendship. But I'm going to keep this secret. Nobody will know about it. This person will only know about it when I give it to them. That's a good secret. We can appreciate those kind of times because I'm sure we've all received something in secret like that where it's been very special. All right, we'll just take a little time now for this whole secret thing began in the garden. The serpent told Eve, and we'll call it a secret for the sake of this topic, said that if she took of this fruit, it wouldn't kill her. No, you're going to become wise. You're just going to become like a god. You're going to know bad from good and all of that. You know the story. It was just like a fishing hook. Here, take it. Put it in your mouth. And once it's in there, I'm going to jerk hard. And I'll have you. And that's what happened. She took it, gave her husband. They did eat. Then he jerked the hook back and jerked him right out of that shalom or that beautiful relationship that they had with God in the garden. And the forms of death unleashed turned worse than they had ever imagined. They experienced inward shame, relational stress, and terror when God called them. Can you imagine? We cannot imagine. Or maybe we can. Sometime when we've done something that's not right and the Holy Spirit... They're hiding because they knew they'd done wrong. They're hiding and God says, Adam, where are you? That must have been horrifying. After knowing that they disobeyed what God just finished telling them. Do not touch that tree in the middle of the garden. That's off bounds. Do not touch it. Jesus, I'm not spending a lot of time on any certain thing. I have way too much stuff here for to do that. But we get, I mean, these are all familiar stories, right? Jesus frequently asked those he healed to keep their miracles a secret. He did this primarily to manage uncontrollable crowds, to prevent premature political uprisings and ensure the message of spiritual salvation was not overshadowed by his reputation as a healer. Yes, he wanted to be known as a healer, but primarily he wanted them to be well on the inside. And he was so compassionate and so loving, Jesus could not help himself. When he saw someone suffer or someone in a bad way, his love just poured out toward them. And what a lesson for us. What a beautiful lesson to just let it go. Let it go. If you have an opportunity to help, help. That's what makes the place we live in so much better. First of all, it's better inside here, but it makes for better church. It makes for better community, a better world. Another secret is the exact timing of Jesus' return, his second coming. So, according to Scripture, the day and the hour knows no man, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now, some believe that possibly Jesus knows that now, that he's at the right hand of the Father. Whether he does or not, that's not really that important. We know God doesn't make mistakes, and neither does Jesus, and that all things are well. But the fact that this is penned like this, that only God knows, that's a very, very sacred moment. When that trumpet will sound, and Jesus is going to descend, and it could be before the service is over. I mean, we say that, and they've said that for how long, but we know it's a whole lot closer when you look at world events than it ever has been before. But our job here is, rather than predicting dates, believers are instructed to live in constant spiritual readiness. Should he come even now, where would I be? We know that nothing that's less than perfect enters those narrow gates. Are we perfect? No. We make mistakes, and lots of them. Do we sometimes sin? Absolutely. Let's not fool ourselves. We're all made of the exact same material, and there's nobody that's any different. Nobody. And we will soon see that by Bible characters. They were all made of the same thing. Abraham and all those people, same material, same material. What was the difference? Their heart was set toward God. When they sinned, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. God openly took him in his arms and put him in Hebrews 11 in the faith chapter. You imagine that? Somebody that was so unperfect to end up in the faith chapter? That's our God. That's who we serve. And I'm thankful to serve such a God, because it would be a dark world for me if it wasn't that way. The mind and judgments of God, the exact reasons behind every specific divine decree, providential event or mystery of the universe, are far beyond finite human comprehension. Romans 11:33, God's nature and thoughts are considered entirely unsearchable. Man is very determined that they're going to go further into space than ever before. And Elon Musk has the idea that someday that there's going to be people living on Mars. Well, I personally don't think God will allow it. Personally, I think we're going to have another Tower of Babel experience. God has put man in the world here, and he has designated this for man. And when man tries to go beyond that, I maybe temporary or whatever like that, but they're having such a hard time even trying to do that. For the time it takes, they come back and they're completely drained because of oxygen situations and everything else involved with the body and a different universe. They need rehab and what have you when they come back. And they're going to live there? No, maybe not. So there are secrets that God has. There has places, secrets that God has that are not for us. So God reveals to his children what they need to know. The secrets of the Lord in Psalm 25:14 is the secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, another scripture says. It's fearing God, or not how we would understand fear. The meaning fear is to honor him and to respect him and to lift him up and hold him high as the Almighty God, the sustainer of the universe and the lover of the soul. Children, what is God's telephone number? You remember what God's telephone number is? Anyone? Our young people are gone for a Bible school this morning. It's pretty empty up front here, but the older ones? Jeremiah 33. 3, you probably know that, right? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So there are secrets that we don't know. God says, if we're troubled about it or we just would like to know, call unto me. He will answer, and he will give us the answers that we need. If after God answers us, we're still like, I still don't know, there are some things he doesn't want us to know. We have to wait for them until another time. In the early days of church, of the Jerusalem church, many believers were selling their possessions and voluntarily donating the entire proceeds to the apostles to be distributed to those in need. We know what this story is. Ananias and Sapphira sold their property, kept back part of the price. Rather than giving it all, they kept back. Secret. Pretending to donate the full amount while secretly holding back funds. Abraham, he said in Genesis 20 verses 1 and 2 and Genesis 26, 7 and 8, two times Abraham said that his wife was his sister. Outright lied. Of a man of like Abraham, just blatantly lying like that? And then ending up in the hero of faith just tells you how great our God is. It just tells you how great God is to take a man that was down that far. We all have our own story to tell, and we've all been in pretty low places. And can we be thankful this morning that God takes those that are of a contrite and a broken spirit, takes them places they never thought was possible. And we don't know how this all happened necessarily. Not everything is penned of the whole story. Just some of it is, and the rest is speculation. But we know that Abraham, we know how he served and how he was a we could say a man after God's heart. Faithfulness, but moving beyond failure and doing great things for the kingdom. Queen Esther hid her Jewish heritage. This was to save the Jewish people, like she was secret about it. Her motive was right, but the way she did it was, well, we'll leave that with what's penned here. But we also know how useful she was in God's kingdom. Just a beautiful story, absolutely beautiful story that still encourages us today to be more like that. But what I guess, just the secrecy and the thing that goes right through history, like right through history with people, like to hold things back and to tell untruths and to fabricate something and add a little bit to a story or take a little bit away or put in our own little words here and there to make it so it works for our agenda, or all those kind of things they're wrong. And we keep them a secret. But we know there's a day, there's a way forward. David's sin with Bathsheba, and then the murder of Uriah. Nathan, the prophet, confronted him, and there was confession and forgiveness. He found forgiveness and moved forward. And we know about the Psalms, what the Psalms tells us about David. Probably go to that book more than any other book, of just because of how it encourages us to be strong and to seek God. And Samson. He hid the divine gift linked to his Nazarite vow, which required him to never cut his hair. And we know how he delivered the Israel from the Philistines through that. And even though he was blind and they tied him to the pillar, he couldn't move. And God intervening, allowing his hair to grow a little bit, and I'm sure God had a hand in it to make it grow fast just then, because it needed to be. And then he pulled the pillar down, and it was all for just a beautiful story, but keeping that secret for a good cause in this case. Okay, we're gonna go to some things today that we have where secrets are kept. So there's one drink and one food that are very, very highly protected, and that's the Coca-Cola recipe. It's in a vault in Atlanta, Georgia, to be kept hidden forever. Nobody enters this place. It is under lock and key and security. Guess that if it removes rust from nails and stuff like that, there's something in it that I'm not sure exactly how that all works. But and then yeah, I have some more stuff on it, but I think it's good for that. And the food that's some people say it has been leaked, that recipe has been leaked, but KFC's original Colonel Sanders recipe was kept quiet for a very, very long time. And whether it's true or not, it's on the internet, so it's right, huh? No, probably not. But I read a thing, whether it's right or not, I'm not even here to say, but Colonel Sanders' nephew supposedly spilt it out here. Here's the recipe, which I'm not sure. We'll leave that there. So there was back in 1749, there was a secret con artist in London. And he would go from place to place, and communication wasn't the way it is now, so he would go from place to place and take people's money and run. So he's in London, and he advertised very successfully a show was coming to town where a man claimed he would squeeze his entire bottle into an ordinary, his entire body, sorry, into a wine bottle. Inside the wine bottle, he would sing a song for them. Well, you know how humanity is. When it's something outrageous, they go and see it. Like, I'm going to go see this. This is just next level. So he had a huge crowd. Like, lots of money. Just before he was to get into the bottle, he disappeared. Had all the money. The only thing he left behind was the bottle. In 1932, in Australia, they had a huge problem with emus. They were running everywhere and destroying the crops, and it was just devastating. People were having a... Like, it was hard. Many people that weren't that wealthy, they had planted the crop and they needed this, and the emus would come and just, almost like a tiller would go across it. They would just destroy it. So it says here, it stands out perhaps as one of the most hilariously misguided secret operations in the history. Australia deployed armed soldiers equipped with Lewis machine guns to wage war against 20,000 giant birds that were devastating Western Australian crops. The emus effortlessly dodged bullets like tanks, forcing the military to cease operations. That's quite the secret operation. Flagship Current Affairs show Panorama secretly aired a 3-minute segment about a record-breaking spaghetti harvest in Switzerland. Anchor Richard Dimbleby discussed the successful crop and the eradication of the spaghetti weevil, W-E-E-V-I-L. Hundreds of viewers called the BBC asking how to grow in their own spaghetti trees. It's just top secret stuff, but they heard about this successful crop and that you could actually grow them, and so they wanted to know how you could grow a spaghetti tree. That's humanity. All right. You're all familiar with Area 51, a highly classified United States Air Force facility within Nevada Test and Training Range. It's about 83 miles northwest of Las Vegas. Established in 1955, it primarily serves as a testing and development site for secret advanced military aircraft, rather than housing extraterrestrial spacecraft. Some people, they look into it so far, they think that something out of space is happening there. Well, it is not, but it is highly, highly classified. I seen a little video clip of an individual was driving down this dirt road toward this place, and he was confronted because of the secretness of it. The Great Wall of China has 220 secret doors in it that people didn't know about I guess certain people did, but it was kept very secret. They were used to, and they were camouflaged for passages for spying and secret trade and surprise military maneuvers rather than defense. Another one is the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico down here, Bermuda, UK here, Miami, Florida there. For decades, people were, it was infamous for swallowing ships and planes due to paranormal forces. It was later, and it was secret, like it was, I think you've all heard that they talked about this and nobody was supposed to. It was a dangerous place to go. It was a myth, pop culture myth. Investigators proved the region had no higher incident rate than anywhere else in the world. And I think there's one more here that, and then we'll go on to something a little more serious. The Manhattan Project, U.S. top secret. This project involved over 130,000 people building an atomic bomb. It was successfully concealed from the public. The aggressors on the other side, Germany, Italy, and Japan, didn't know about it. And most of the workers that were on the, except for a few of the very top instruction givers on this project, all the rest of these 130,000 didn't know what they were building. Not until it was deployed. Then they were told what they had built. So there's when you look at some of these things, like the secrecy that's used for to some of it is to deceive people, some of it is just to keep private to further an objective. Yeah, there's lots of other places that are very secret. Room 39 in North Korea, it's a nuclear place. If you get close to it, you die. The Vatican protects its internal affairs in the Vatican there. Very, very highly secretive places. The most secret animal in the world. It's found in the Himalayan mountains and also in caves deep in the ocean floor. It can live organism, a water bear, a tardigrade, it's called. It's a water bear, a microscopic creature. And it can survive. I mean, they do all these tests that take it to outer space and just set it free on the moon or in on Mars or whatever. It can live there. It doesn't expire. It just lives there. Interesting. Never even heard of this thing. All right. In closing, God intentionally left a void in the human soul that nothing in the physical world can satisfy. This void is a space that draws humanity to seek spiritual meaning and connection with the divine. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It represents a spiritual state of absolute safety and divine protection and intimacy with God. The secret place is not a physical place or a geographical location. It is a condition of the heart and a private relationship with the divine. And notice that this is a secret place, not anybody is qualified to be in this secret place either. This is reserved for the people that love God and the people that have a relationship with Him. There is a secret place that where you can have that connection, and when you have a struggle with something or you're battling a something, you have a place to go. And it's not just then. It's also when you go there and your things are going well, you go to that secret place just to glorify God and to thank Him for everything. It's not just the place where I need this and I need that, but thank You, Lord, for everything You have given me. That's what happens at that sacred place. People search the heavens to understand the great mysteries of existence. They searched ancient texts, debated grand philosophies, and looked to the stars despite desperate for answers. One evening, a child exhausted from the heavy questions lay in a soft dew-kissed grass and whispered a simple prayer. What is your greatest secret? Suddenly, a warm golden light enveloped the child, gentle as the setting of sun, but vast as the cosmos. The voice that spoke was not a loud or booming. It was a familiar whisper, the exact sound of a rushing river and a mother's lullaby. My greatest secret, the voice resonated through the very blades of grass, is that I never kept one from you. That is beautiful. God does not keep secrets from us. The things that we are to know, He gives them to us, and all of them. Everything we need for a good life, for faithfulness, for good church, for good community, good friends, good, all those beautiful things that we have in life, God gives us all the tools to have all those things. No secrets. We know life is full of them. People have them, like we just saw, the governments have them, and this, they're all over the place. Let's be encouraged this morning to try to not have secrets that will keep us from heaven. Secrets that are in our hearts, deep down in our hearts, tell someone, tell God. And he'll listen. He always does. And let's have lots of good secrets. Give each other gifts. Doesn't have to be expensive. Just a little something, and just a little appreciation. Maybe it's not even a gift. Maybe it's just a note. Just a little, even sometimes a text, which texts are pretty cheap, but you know how it is nowadays. But just, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking of you. Be strong for God. Things like that. God blesses that. Thank you.